Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be able to say that on this beautiful day. We are still celebrating Easter. It's the third Sunday of Easter. We gather together as God's people here in this place to continue to celebrate the resurrection of hope and the joy that it brings to us. We're thankful that you're all here. Thankful that the mixed choir is with us as well. Today, for our liturgy, we're going to follow the divine service setting 2 that begins on page 167 in your hymnal. Just by your stand, it's going to begin our worship together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. Of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, redeem us, and teach us, so that we may delight in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Oh, God, in his mercy, he has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, forgive you all of your sins, as he called for me to be in Christ, and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the intro and the inside of our community. In your presence there is fullness of joy. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praise to the Lord, O you His saints. His anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as he was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Praise you, Father. lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, and one man forever. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the third Sunday of Easter comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at us? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, who you delivered over to deny in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, of faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man his perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you have changed your also your rulers. But when God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, and it is I myself. Touch me and see. The spirit is not through flesh and bones, as you see that I am." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still disbelieved for joy and marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, providence, a cosmic coincidence. And they say that we are very, very lucky to be able to see something like that. But what they call coincidence, I think we can just go ahead and call creation. Here's why this even matters for the sermon today. It's about a point, I promise, and we'll move on. But do you remember what the eclipse was like for us here in Royalty back in 2017? I remember it. That was a very memorable year for me because that was my first year as a pastor here at Trinity in Royalty. So I remember a lot of things from that year, including that we were celebrating our 150th anniversary as a congregation that year. But I remember when the eclipse happened that August. I remember all the hype, I remember all the buzz, I remember all the excitement, I remember people going out and getting all the glasses. I remember the travel arrangements people had to make in the traffic. As you remember, the path of totality was not here. It was south of here. It was down around Carbondale in 2017. I remember thinking it was absolutely crazy that people were going down there and fighting all that traffic to be in the path of totality. Because we looked it up, and here in Royalton, it was 99.6%. I remember what it felt like. Only 0.4% of the sun was visible. It felt a lot like it felt this past Monday. It had to be dark. And the animals were kind of confused by it. And some of the solar-powered lights came on. And, of course, during that time, it felt a little bit chill in the air as well. Very, very similar to this past Monday. There was one very significant difference between that year and this year. In 2017, there was never a moment where it was possible to safely remove your eclipse glasses. Because even with only 0.4% of the sun visible, that amount of the sun was still too bright for a person to look at with their own two eyes. This year, during those 2 to 4 minutes or whatever it was of absolute totality, there were no glasses needed. The sun completely 100% total. Which again, that in and of itself is not just a coincidence, it is. I think that's going to help us to even more clearly see what God is wanting to teach us in this first reading that we have here in Exodus chapter 3. So here, this passage is mainly made up of a sermon that Peter is preaching. We have Peter, and we have John, and we're both outside the temple. Let me set the scene for you here a little bit. All of this is happening almost immediately after the day of Pentecost, which means that the disciples had just received gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, empowering their ministries. They go, they seek to do what Jesus told them to do in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. So that's what they're doing. They're preaching and they're baptizing. And all of that is being done in the city of Jerusalem at this point. We haven't left the confines of Jerusalem, the very same city where Jesus had been crucified, where Jesus rose again, where just outside the city at the Mount of Olives, Jesus ascended into heaven. That's where they still are, in the very beginnings of this brand new, little Christian church. Here, in chapter 3, right before this passage begins in verse 11, Peter and John have just healed a lame man, a man who had never been able to walk. Now, all of a sudden, he is walking. He's not just walking, but he's jumping up and down. He's leaping for joy and praising God. And that's why our passage begins in verse 11, telling us that the people were utterly astounded. And wouldn't you be? These people had seen this beggar outside the temple all the time as they go in to worship him. There's the man laying there, asking for things. Now, all of a sudden, that same man is up, jumping around and praising God. I picture the scene. I picture that everything is to stop students, how do you stop those tensions? It creates a service. So that's what he does. Look at what Peter says. First of all, he doesn't want this crowd of people in their excitement and enthusiasm and wonder. He doesn't want them to assign the wrong meaning to this miracle. It's like the eclipse sign. And people thinking that this must be a sign of the end of the world, right? Peter doesn't want that sort of thing to happen here. What he really doesn't want is for the people to assume that Peter and John are the heroes of this story. Because that's not what this is about at all. So, what does Peter do? He reminds them about who Jesus is. He tells them, he reminds them that they are responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They are the ones that put Jesus on that cross. But even quickly pivots to the power that exists in the name of Jesus. Look at this beggar who's not laying on your own, and you can clearly see right in front of your face the positive power that having faith in the name of Jesus Christ has. And so, that's why Peter brings around to verse 19. That's where he gets to the heart of the sermon, the heart of what he wants these people to hear. Repent, therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. The only real way for a person to do those things, to repent and turn back, is if they have what Peter and John have, if they have what this beggar has, as he's jumping up and down in excitement, faith in Jesus is what takes sin away. No matter how big, no matter how small, even the sins committed by the people in this crowd were just as bad as it gets, as low as it gets, as evil as it gets, personally contributing to the painful execution of the innocent Son of God. And yet Peter makes it clear that the greatest miracle is not that this man who didn't have the ability to walk can now walk, but the greatest miracle ever is that God's love and his forgiveness are poured out upon people who don't deserve his mercy. Like you, you know, spiritually speaking, no matter what we might try to do to make up for all the bad things we've done and try to earn God's forgiveness in some way, it would never be enough. Maybe 99.6%, but never 100%. Even if last Monday's eclipse really was God's way of waking us up, whatever that means. Even if we promised to change our ways and obey him, and even if the United States of America was so moved that we as a nation promised and swore that we would be a Christian nation from here on out, that still wouldn't be enough to save our sins. God's wrath is poured out upon sin like partial sunlight pouring into our eyes. Forget about 0.4%. Even 0.00000004% is too much for us to hear. God gave us to hear in sending us his Son. He came at the perfect time and did it perfect way. Just like the moon crossing in front of the sun. Jesus Christ placed himself between us and our Heavenly Father's righteous anger. He eclipsed our sins. heavens are blotted out in totality, since they are, you can feel free to look up to the heavens whenever you want to. Don't actually do that when you leave in spiritual sense, because you don't want anybody to know. But in a spiritual sense, yes, look up to heaven, lift up your heads, rejoice. Church of God in Christ Jesus and from all people according to their needs. Lord God, in your presence we find fullness of joy, and by your right hand, Christ Jesus, we wait and deliver peace forevermore. In the midst of this world's sins and sorrows, give us peace with the knowledge of his salvation and confident hope in the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the incarnation of your Son and the reconciliation of his cross, your children, gather us into your holy church, sustain the preaching of your holy word, its message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and to sustain among us and all the nations of the world. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, including the sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy, give peace here to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins spring even among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they are held by your right hand. We give you thanks and praise on behalf of those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Pamela, Annie, Geraldine, Ellison, Casey, Edith, Doris, Elmont, Rollin, Zachary, and Green. Fill this upcoming year with many blessings for them. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve our nation and its leaders, especially our President Joe Biden and the Governor J.B. Pritzker. Preserve order and decency in this fallen world, and restrain the sins and deceptions of the lawless, that we may practice righteousness while awaiting the eternal peace promised in Christ's wounds alone. Bless mightily those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, especially Michael, Dave, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Penny, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Jalen, and Mark. Watch over them and grant them protection as they serve. Lord, in your mercy. God of all comfort, you have compassion on those who are afflicted. Remember and have mercy on all those in need of your healing and deliverance, especially all who are on our prayer list this day, including those who are in care facilities, Brennan, Tula, Bill, Jude, and Charles. Continue to lift before your throne Bobby, who is hospitalized, and Charlie, who has been recovering from his recent surgery. We ask you to be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Isaac, Thomas, Jerry, Jude, Mark, Amy, Jerry, Jamie, Ronnie, Ben, Francis, Travis, Brent, Daryl, Linda, Ricky, Tim, Roland, Laverne, Samantha, and all those who are facing cancer. If it be your will, restore their health fully, also ask you to bring peace and comfort to those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Greg Burrell. During this season of Easter resurrection, remind us all of the great day of resurrection to come. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by your Son's crucifixion, all sins have been blotted out. Send us now the blessed refreshment of his bodily presence in the sacrament of the altar. Make us worthy partakers in repentance for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may begin to be constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you to all of you this week. So, can you please announce the blood bond is soup this week? So, that's strange. A few things going on, though. So, tomorrow, you have a time to practice at 5 o'clock. And then also, the stewardship board was not able to be last week, so they're going to be tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And I know the bulletin says school conference room, but we talked about it, and I think what we're going to do is actually stewardship will be over here in the north of the school. That way we can go straight there to the voters meeting, which is at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. We invite all of our voters to come and join us for that, hear reports, and we'll have a few things to vote on. If you'd like some information about that meeting, there is an agenda printed for you in today's bulletin, so you can see the topics that will be discussed. Again, that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. This coming Wednesday, Mixed Choir, great job. You got the week off for rehearsals, so no Mixed Choir on Wednesday. Women's Bible study will happen at 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. And coming up, there's also an announcement here. Ladies' Banquet. This is something that our LWL Legacy does every year. So all the ladies and daughters and granddaughters of the congregation are invited to join Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Put that on your calendar. And they would need to know if you're coming by April 30th and you help them to bring it up. I think those are all the announcements I wanted to highlight. It looks like there's something. Does anybody else have anything to see? Oh, that's right. Steve is going to talk. He told me that too, but I didn't trust him.
Thank you for joining us.
We hope to see you again next week.